An Indiana homeowner who's accused of killing a house cleaner. She was with a crew cleaning houses. She's 32 years old, mother of four. She and her husband go to the door to this house in Whitestown, which is an Indianapolis suburb. And her husband said he was with her on the porch. Someone fired through the front door. He didn't even realize that she had been shot until she fell back into his arms. Karen, what the heck? That is illegal. You can't just shoot someone on your front porch, can you?
No. I mean, the Stand Your Ground laws, they vary from state to state, and most states have them. Only about eight states do not have them. And basically, these laws say that you can use reasonable force, including deadly force, to defend without having a duty to retreat, but you must reasonably believe that your force is necessary to prevent death or serious bodily injury. So this person, you know, the couple is on the porch. They are legally allowed to be on somebody's porch. There's nothing wrong with an Amazon delivery guy or a mailman or whatever to be on your porch. That is perfectly fine. And even ringing the doorbell, even knocking on the door, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not trespass. So at that point, did he reasonably believe that he was in danger of dying? You know, he didn't call the police. He didn't, according to the accounts, he didn't call out and say, who are you? What are you doing here? He just shot through the door. And to me, that was not reasonable. And he did not reasonably believe, according to the facts that we know, that he was in danger of bodily harm.
So Indiana does have a Stand Your Ground law or not?
They do.
Yeah. But this is outside the bounds of what that law allows for.
And does not have one?
Illinois does not have one. Interesting.
No. Illinois does not have one. So there are other duties that you have. But again, just Stand Your Ground law doesn't mean you just get to shoot somebody on your front porch because they're ringing your bell. I mean,
right.
You know, that's just not the way it works. And I will also add to it that this is a woman, and she's a young woman, and she was not brandishing a gun. So, I mean, it's a different story if someone's standing at your door with a gun in his hand. That's a whole different world. But just being there and ringing your bell or knocking or doing any of that stuff, that doesn't really justify what this man did, according to the facts we know.
And what will he have to prove to be acquitted?
Well, he will have to prove that he believed that he was in serious and immediate threat of harm, you know, and he will also have to prove that that fear was reasonable, meaning that even if he believed that in his heart of hearts and he had no malice in his heart, he would have to prove that the average person would have done the same thing. And I don't know about you. I don't think I would have done that.
No.
I probably would have done a few things before pulling out my gun and shooting.
Here's the deal. If you're frightened, don't open the door. Call 911.
Right.
I don't understand that. So in Illinois, since we do not have a Stand Your Ground law, if you are freaking out because somebody is on your front porch, you don't recognize them, you think perhaps they're going to break into your house, what do you need to do? What rights do you have? What should you do? I mean, I know what I think you should do, but...
Yeah, and I mean, you said it. First of all, you call 911 and you explain what happened as quickly as you can. If you wanted to take your gun in your hand, you can certainly do that, but I would call through the door and say, who are you? Why are you here? Leave my front porch. You have 10 seconds to get off my porch. See what they do. If they say, hey, I'm in the wrong place, my GPS brought me to the wrong door, sorry, sir, well, then you just saved yourself 30 years in jail. And the other option, I suppose, is if the person keeps doing it, then you brandish the gun and warn the person to get off your porch. But I would say you need to take all of those steps to be reasonable about it.
Right. Okay, this other story about the mom and the dad who were in the hospital, and the hospital decided that she was only dilated 3 centimeters, and I just can't believe they made her leave. She was saying no. Her husband was saying no. They left because they were asked to leave. And then the baby arrives a matter of minutes later, unattended birth in a vehicle that her husband had to do with somebody, you know, at the other end of 911 trying to talk him through it. What is the liability for this hospital?
You know, what's interesting about this case is that as wrongful as that conduct is, that we're, of course, seeing in the news, taking the facts as we see them, there would probably be no legitimate lawsuit. And the question is why? Well, even if what they did was negligent, if there were no damages, meaning the baby was not harmed, the baby was perfectly healthy at birth, which I understand the baby was, there's a picture, he's cute as can be, that there is no harm to the negligence that happened. So no lawyer would probably take that case because at the end of the day, the baby just turned out to be fine. Now, should the hospital have ramifications if they did this wrongfully? Yes, but that would be more of an administrative type of thing where you would cite them for, you know, doing something wrong or providing substandard care.
Well, during the news conference with their lawyer, the family said they were mistreated because of their race. They are claiming racial bias.
Well, I will tell you this, whether your listeners are going to believe me or not, go online and Google it, because black women are 8 times more likely to die or be injured in childbirth than white women. And there has been a historic over decades of history of women not being given medicine if they're people of color, not being attended to, not being given urgent care. And I will add to it that if you're a female, that adds to the possibility that you're not going to get the good care. And I will also add to it, if you're elderly, you get substandard care. And if you look at, there's a Harvard study out there, it's just astounding. And we don't really know why this happens, if it's because doctors are largely 65% white, only 7% are African American, or maybe it's just this perceived idea that black women, just don't deserve that kind of care. It's horrible.
Tragic. That's tragic. And
it is.
We need to change the course on that. I don't know how we do it, but let's get through the craziness in the world and make that a point that we need to do something about this, because it happens far too often. And you're right. It happens not only to people of color, but to elderly people, too. That's why everyone needs an advocate when they go to the hospital.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Someone who's going to push the buttons, push the issues for you, because when you're in pain and you're there, you know, you're not asking the right questions and you're not making the demands that you maybe should be making.
Right. And that's when Lisa comes into play. I'm really good at that.
I'll bet you are. I'll bet, with the microphone or without?
Without the microphone. I don't need it. I'm loud enough without it. Thank you so much for covering those stories for us, Karen.
All right. Take care, Lisa.